Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, you may have seen there's a bit of a row brewing over traffic in Dublin. A plan devised by Dublin City Council to block off traffic moving through parts of the city centre is due to be implemented in August. But the Minister of State for Business, Employment and Retail, Eimear Higgins, has asked that the plan be paused for a year. Traffic plans are complex things to construct. The Sunday Independent columnist and lecturer in planning at Technological University Dublin, Dr. Conor Skehan, joins us now. Afternoon, Conor.
Hello, Sean.
How often in a living city do you have to change those kind of plans? Is it an ongoing process?
Ongoing. Never stops. There's been a city around here for the guts of 2,000 years, and it's been different every year for each of those 2,000 years.
Yeah. So people might be mistaken for thinking that people can't make up, that their city planners can't make up their mind as to what they want.
It's kind of a play on words. I mean, when I used to be an architect, a plan meant that you would build it, and when you were finished, everything would look just like the plan.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we use the same word for cities. Cities never finished. They just go on and on and on. And each time you're trying to make it less bad than the last version. So county councils and city councils make a new plan every 5 years for a very good reason. That the needs change, the expectation change, and the population changes. That's why we do a census every 5 years as well.
Mm, yeah. So say, for instance, if you're making a plan for traffic in the centre of Dublin, who are you catering to there? Because I imagine there's various stakeholders with various interests that might compete with each other.
Yeah, I mean, the problem with cities is they mean lots of different things to lots of different people within the city and outside the city. The capitals of countries have a different audience again, because they have both tourists who are here but just are gone for a little bit, and people from the rest of the country who regard it their right to come to the centre to celebrate everything Irish and all that kind of good stuff. And the city centre has to maintain lots of expensive institutions for culture and sports and all kinds of things. All things to all women and all men.
Yeah. Okay. So then how do you, is it a negotiation really? Is it, you know, that old joke about a camel is a horse designed by a committee? Do you end up with a camel every time?
A city is even worse. Yeah. What you're trying to do is to make the least bad city you can. And what you're trying to do is make most of the people as happy as you can make them most of the time. I don't mean to sound trite in saying that it's a really complex issue, and that's why it takes 5 years to draw up a plan, and it involves endless listening. One of the problems is that things like planning don't excite or interest a lot of people until the proverbial rubber hits the road, and that's what you're seeing now. So lots of people are squirreling away in roads in offices with their fantasies and their technical specifications, and then eventually the plan comes out. In conventional planning, like a city plan or a county plan, is published exhaustively in advance, and everybody gets to write in and participate and bring it forward in the same way as planning applications are put before the public. You get their views. Things like traffic planning in some ways are even nerdier, so even fewer people participated in planning, you know, bus routes and things like that. And when people suddenly see the stop sign at the end of their road or the bollards down the middle of their avenue, they get really hissy.
Yes, I can imagine, you know? They do, yeah.
They feel that they haven't been asked. In fact, they've been asked as part of big, long, complex processes. It's a thing that we can always improve. In other countries, they do it. We're pretty good about trying to do it here. Other countries are a little more cynical. I was talking to a Dutch colleague in planning recently, and he says, oh yes, our planning system, it is the iron fist in the velvet glove.
Okay.
Which means that we'll ask you a lot, but we're going to do what we're always going to do anyway.
Yeah.
We're not too bad at it here. And the challenge at the moment is that a lot of the audience you're talking about are changing. They're changing at two levels. First of all, if you step way back again, because planning is all about trying to step back and get the helicopter view, cities themselves are changing dramatically. COVID accelerated a set of changes that were caused by the little mobile phone in your hand, which meant that you shopped online, you could work from home and all that kind of good stuff. That's critically undermined the economic model that made the city centre work, because originally city centres were a place of commercial intercourse.
Yes, 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 indeed.
And everybody came in to do business.
Yeah.
That rationale is gone. It may never come back. And if it never comes back, it changes a whole lot of things, like the rate space that used to pay for all the services that we enjoy in our city centres. It changes the expectations of what people think the city centre is for. So on the one hand, the people represented by the Minister of State say that the city is still for business, and anything that will interfere with their business plans is a bad thing. There's another thing happening. There's a generation of people who were flocking all through Dublin yesterday on their way off to Taylor Swift and all kinds of other concerts. And they see the city as a place of entertainment and recreation, and it's for them. So the streets have gone from being a thing that's far going through to becoming a place where you just stay, and it's the entertainment value out of it.
Mm.
Neither are wrong or right, but everybody yes. has to have their say.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. But presumably we'd all agree, or perhaps we should all agree, that we should be driving less, that we should be getting on forms of public transport rather than, you know, driving in our car to do the big shop kind of thing.
Well, I think there's a lot of reductio ad absurdum, as an old teacher used to say to me, where you reduce things down to very simple silliness.
Yeah.
Traffic's much more complex than that. So the person who is coming to fix your toilet,
right,
to fit it, they're not going to arrive on a bicycle.
Yeah, yeah.
And a huge amount of the traffic on the road is people doing various different kinds of services. You're not going to be very happy if an ambulance pulls outside your door and the guy's got bicycle clips on.
Mm, yeah.
You want your fire engine and your police to arrive as quickly as possible. And when I was years ago doing work on the planning commission for IKEA, one of the planners in Dublin City Council was saying that there should be more public transport and cycling used to get to it. And a very old planner in the room muttered to himself, whoever heard of a bicycle being brought home on a bus?
Yeah.
So there are all those realities that we have to deal with. You know?
Yeah. So well, I mean, that tells us that it should always be some sort of a road, even if it's for specialised use,
yeah.
and say in a city centre area.
It's not just specialised. I mean, see, we need to understand what we mean, who we're serving.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, there's lots of groups, and I get myself in bigger trouble than usual saying this, there's lots of different groups who are organised by age, by gender, by sense of safety and things like that. So it's one thing for a strapping 32-year-old idealist to hike up the bike and say,
yes.
I'm your saviour. Say it to somebody who, for all kinds of reasons, doesn't want to admit that they're scared or weak or vulnerable or in some way incapacitated. They tend not to be quite as shouty.
Yes.
And they're the people who often really need it and who get excluded the most. So I've written a lot about the fact that there are a whole bunch of groups, particularly women, who are looking after older people and who are looking after children who are badly affected. Women tend to use, for instance, cars very differently from men. Men use cars mostly for themselves. Women mostly use cars for other people, interestingly.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing. And perhaps, as you say, a woman feels safer travelling on a car.
Not even going to go there. I get in trouble with that. But years ago, we discovered when we were planning parks that we were planning our parks for a tiny proportion of the population, which was athletic young men between the ages of 14 and 45.
Mm.
We weren't planning for older people, younger people, and we definitely weren't planning them for women. It's just an example of how you can be so blindsided by just seeing what appears to be the most obvious thing in front of you.
Yeah.
Because you've got a pair of football boots on, you know?
Yeah.
Not so, you personally.
No, I know, yes. that would be a photo opportunity if that ever happened. So a city centre has to be all things to all people, but that's almost an impossibility, though, as
it
well.
It is, but there are kind of guardrails there. So it is arguable, but be very careful I say this now, it is arguable that we may be repeating a mistake we made back in the 1970s. There's a fantastic journalist called Frank MacDonald, doesn't write that much now,
sure,
but he
yeah.
wrote a series of brilliant books, the best of which was called The Destruction of Dublin.
Mm.
And he documented unsparingly how an obsession with having big roads through the city destroyed the place. So you can often kill something out of thinking you're doing good. And back at the time, in the 1960s, my late father-in-law used to live in Howth and work for the ESB in St. Stephen's Green, and he would drive home for lunch every day.
Huh.
That's what people thought were normal.
Yeah.
So as far as his world was concerned, for the city council knocking down half of the streets to make him get home faster was a great idea. It's a great idea. We don't think that way at all now.
Yeah.
But we've got other ideas which may be as easily caricaturable in a small amount of time, where a very small number of enthusiasts have very clear ideas about what we all should be doing, and we are possibly going to be forced to do them for our own good. To use your own word back earlier.
Yeah. I suppose the difficulty with that, though, it has to be predictive to a certain extent, in that one could argue right now we should have X, Y and Z, no cars, all bicycle lanes, but we don't know in 5 years' time what we'll need, or indeed what the immediate effects that might have on various parts of the population.
There's two aspects to it. One is the future, because planners, I mean, in Ireland the word plan has gotten terribly debased because it's mostly about getting planning permission. Originally the word planner is making provision for the future. It's an act of generosity. It's an act of doing things for the good. currently it's possible that that process has gotten short-circuited, and all those complicated groups of people who have to have needs met are kind of being pushed to one side by a very small group of people who are sure that they know what's good for them. Mm. And when that happens, like the big trucks in the 1960s in Dublin, the future doesn't look so good.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Conor, thank you so much for talking with us today. That was Dr. Conor Skehan there from Technological University Dublin. And a lot of commentary on that as well. Someone says he can't carry shopping on a bus even when they do turn up. I've worked in the inner city for 29 years, but if you stop people driving in, they will stop shopping in the Ilac or Arnott's, and that will shut small shops. Then nothing in the city centre. Another texter wants to know, can someone explain the thinking behind taking cars off the quays? Someone else says, the problem with Dublin is that in the 18th century it was designed as a walking city with everything within walking distance. We still have the original basic infrastructure of that era in place today in Dublin, which with the coming of the motor car has defied all solutions to the problem of traffic getting jammed in the city centre. Unless we could start from scratch, this will continue. Someone else says, I often wonder, should we be more ruthless in our approach to planning? I assume you mean ruthless in our approach to planning. Dublin streets are too narrow and small. Should we just knock buildings and make streets wider and more practical like New York City? Well, that's kind of, I think that was one of the things that Conor was referring to, that there was a time in the 60s where, you know, the idea was to kind of knock buildings and everything wider, and there seems to be a general acceptance that that didn't really work out that well. I drive into the city once a week and I've tried to find a map of the new plans on the Dublin County Council, and all I can find is a description of the proposed changes. Someone else says, exactly what we need, more cycle lanes and bus lanes in the city while we sit in gridlock. I live in DLR. I used to be able to drive from one side of town to the other in 5 minutes. They now have made it a one-way system and it now takes about 20 minutes to get into town. I have to do a whole loop in order to get in. And finally, somebody else says, why are we trying to pick apart Dublin? They don't want cars in the city, but planning for the Metro, Dart and Lewis extensions always get rejected. It's a joke of a circle.
Moncrief. Weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.